All right, everybody, grab your partners, make sure your numbers are securely fastened, and let the countdown begin.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's showtime!
You said you wish?
One got shot.
The episode
Maybe
be...
Taylor.
Oh, damn it, Taylor. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are technically, legally, literally
the Gilmore Guys.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us for another day, for another episode and another week.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a biggie. This is episode 307. This is a very crucial ep in
kind of the
mythology and history of the show.
Yeah.
We've been building it up on the show. Can't wait to talk about 307. Can't wait to talk about 307. You guys have been building it up on Twitter and Facebook and WeGilly.com now, the fan forum you guys made for us, which is very sweet. So check that out. And it's here. And I don't know if we should dilly-dally around. I know we kind of hyped this up before. We said it's going to be a big one, so...
I didn't realize how big of a one it was going to be, to be honest.
You didn't?
I didn't. I mean, like, I realized people were talking about it as being a big episode,
mm-hmm.
but now that I've seen it, I'm... Like, I feel like all my predictions were wrong. I feel like...
I feel like some of them were right, but we'll get to that.
I don't remember any predictions I made, though.
But let's get to it while introducing our guest for the episode.
La la, la la. Special guest.
Well, of course, you know this gentleman from such shows as The League, Parks and Recreation, movies like They Came Together and The Dictator, and you know him from his own podcast, How Did This Get Made? He's a Gilly, and it's literally bonkers that he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jason Mantzoukas! Air horn.
Gentlemen, I am thrilled to be here.
We are thrilled to have you.
We are so thrilled to have you
thrilled here. Thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be here to talk about this episode.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's start with just kind of a... I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you've listened to the show before.
Okay.
It's totally cool that you haven't.
I have, but I listened to those when I told you before, those early ones that you said you didn't love anymore.
The redheaded stepchildren episodes.
I mean, technically, yeah. I mean, we kind of, I don't know if we screwed up, but a lot of people do pilots before they actually put out the podcast.
If you listen to the first bunch of How Did This Get Made till now, totally different show.
Totally different show. And literally the first thing we ever recorded together is the first episode of the show.
Yeah, we were like, that's fine.
We're like,
put it out.
Yeah, no one will listen to this. It's
exactly.
Fine. But we've since grown and changed and become the men that we are today.
Oh, and it is such a delight.
We went through podcast puberty.
I think so. We went through a little pee-pee.
Yep. And now you guys have full-on podcast pubes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, we got pee-pees because of our pee-pee. Jason, thank you so much for being here. I don't know if you know this, but you've come up a few times actually on the
show
before.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah.
Tell me.
We talked to Anthony King. We talked to Tara Copeland. And you're a name that kind of got tossed about back and forth every now and again. People would say, well, I've heard Jason's a big fan of Gilmore Girls.
I'm a huge fan of Gilmore Girls, guys.
When did that start?
I started watching it. I must have started just watching it for some reason. But then I became obsessed with it when I was here for a pilot season one year. And it must have... Okay, no, I know why. At some point, it syndicated enough that it was on ABC Family.
Right.
And they played that all the time here in LA during a particularly like lonesome, like not very active pilot season that I like rented a bungalow in Hollywood and sat in that bungalow and watched every episode existing of Gilmore Girls up until that point. And then went back to New York and watched it in real time for the rest of the years that it was on. I was trying to think of, like, because there are real moments that I remember of this show having impact, or not impact, but like having funny moments where I realized me liking this show was bizarre. One of which was, I used to work out at a gym in New York that was kind of like a gym, and everybody's there and there's TVs on the walls and blah, blah, blah. And the TVs were always like CNN, you know, ESPN or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And on whatever Tuesday, it was on Tuesday nights, right? For a while, I think it was on Tuesday nights.
I think so, if I remember correctly.
I would go to the gym at that time and ask them to turn Gilmore Girls on one of the TVs. And then I would just do the elliptical slowly in front of it while visibly crying during episodes of Gilmore Girls.
Wait, so you cried too during this show?
Oh, I cry to this show all the time.
Yes, finally we have a...
Guys, this show is heartbreaking all the time.
Oh, yes. God. Concurred. I get a lot of shit on Twitter for crying.
I give you a lot of shit for crying.
In the room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've never cried at the show, right?
No, but I don't...
You will. You will.
I'm sure
it's coming. I cry mostly at the Emily Lorelai
stuff. When Rory dies,
stuff.
I'll cry. Ugh.
What kind of gets you? Where, like, the soft spots for you?
I get it with Lorelai Rory stuff.
Okay.
I get it, like, oh, just, like, that heartbreak
mm-hmm.
Between them. It, like, everything, like, when it gets heavy with them, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, definitely the parents Lorelai stuff is really a bummer. Like, I've just watched, in preparation for this episode, guys,
mm-hmm.
I watched all of the episodes previous of season 3. I watched, you know, 301 to 307 so I could mm-hmm. talk cogently about the arc of the season.
Right, and where it's going.
Totally forgot
headed.
John Hamm.
Yes.
Totally
Little
forgot
Donnie Drapes in 305.
I mean,
yeah.
So funny.
So boring.
So minor,
oh, yeah.
too.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Very minor.
I love that stuff like that. When you rewatch old stuff and you realize, oh, that person who's like a huge star now was like a guest star on this.
Or like Ricky Lindholm in the same episode. Yeah, that was another one of those. Or Danny Strong, who's now the co-writer of Empire.
Oh, yeah.
And Mockingjay Part 2.
And a Buffy mainstay.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan.
When are you guys going to do Buffy Boys?
Buffy Boys, we've talked about it.
I bet. We have like five spinoff shows that we've talked about.
What we truthfully want to do, and we will actually do when this is done, is we're going to do Bunhead Bros.
I mean, I've seen every episode.
Yeah? Okay, we'll have you on for that, too.
Every episode.
You know what's funny about that? I haven't confessed this on the air, but I have seen the first 15, but I couldn't bring myself to watch the last 3.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Of Bunheads, because it was just too... I didn't want to say goodbye.
Wait, have you seen the episode? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'll watch the last 3, and then you won't watch them, and then we'll switch it up.
Oh, interesting.
A reverse. That'd be so good.
Watch those last 3. It's good. Did you see the one where Ginny has an audition?
Jenny has an audition.
Yeah, and she asks Sutton Foster to help her prepare for the audition, and that's the dance piece that week.
It's
amazing.
Oh, can't wait to get to it.
Guys, let's get into it right
now. Actually,
let's just
do that.
Welcome to my new podcast, Bunhead Boys.
Bunhead Boys. Oh, let's do it. But for now, before we get to that, we will talk about episode 307.
All right.
They shoot Gilmore's, don't they? Which is, of course, a reference to...
They shoot horses,
don't they? Mm-hmm. Which is a movie I've never seen before.
Same.
But I know it's a dance marathon. Mm-hmm. It's a Jane Fonda dance marathon movie.
Oh, Jane Fonda's
in it? I believe it's Jane Fonda. It's a drama. Yeah.
Okay. Which I'm completely intrigued by the idea of a dance marathon, like a very dramatic
dance. Is it drama?
Like, does someone get shot? I don't know.
This is kind of a drama.
Yeah, but it's played for laughs when she's like, oh, I can't dance anymore.
Certain parts. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is, Lorelai forces Rory to be her partner at the Stars Hollow Dance Marathon, where Rory and Jess can't start arguing, -, which Dean definitely notices.
Fucking Dean, man.
Well, let's talk about that. Are you...
I'm a hard pass on Dean.
Hard pass on Dean.
Yep.
That's most people.
I'm all Jess.
All Jess.
I'm all in on Jess. Logan can go fuck himself.
No!
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Logan can straight up go fuck himself. I don't like Logan. I like Dean fine as high school boyfriend Dean.
Yeah, first boyfriend.
Great. But that's why I love this episode. I love the forsaking of Dean for Jess. Oh, it's so perfect.
But you love Jess. Well, actually, before we get into that, let's start with the segment we do every episode, a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show, put them together in a little supercut and play them back and see what we can make of it. So this is episode 307. They shoot Gilmore's, don't they? Pop goes the culture.
And it sounded very Blue Velvet.
Who are you, Bobby Brady?
Either pull a boxing Helena or give me back my hand.
Oh, hey, look, there goes Tommy Toon.
My mother, the Howard Work of Stars Hollow.
Patty showed his wife a picture of me, and she thinks I look like Elizabeth Taylor, which makes her Debbie Reynolds and Stanley Eddie Fisher.
Yeah, he's a regular Martha Graham.
Well, what'd you hear? Quadrophenia?
He used to be part of the touring company of Riverdance.
He likes to take his victory lap around the floor to the theme from Rocky.
Madeline,
may I call you Spicoli?
Well, Jamie must be special.
Or Ted Bundy.
No, we have that money. The Tennessee Williams look-alike contest last month put us right over the
Taylor.
Top. You would kick Tiny Tim's crutch out from under him, wouldn't you?
If he asked for a free cup of coffee, Gimpy's going down.
Go away, Jess. No one asked for a Tony Manero wannabe to drop by. The second I mention a guy to them, they'll start singing the theme from the Trojan Man commercial.
I am not Winona Ryder.
Well, I know that.
Why does he say I'm not Winona Ryder?
I think it was in the context of Lorelai was he had the impression Lorelai was prying about their personal life.
Yeah.
And like he's a public figure. I'm not Winona Ryder.
While I watch these, I am so stunned at how many current pop culture jokes they make for the time that have not lasted. You know, like moments and things that are not like a low rent Tony Manero. Okay, well, we know what that's, I guess, still a valid reference now. But there are so many references in this show that are so fleeting and passing.
Of their time.
Of their time. It's as the fashions as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we talk all about that.
That we do.
What do you think has been the most dated reference on the show thus far that we've kind of come across where it's like, this has a shelf life of about 5 seconds. I'm trying to think if there's anything that's really stuck out.
It wasn't a reference per se, but there was that time they were plugging that Motley Crue book, The Dirt, and
there was
a time where everybody was reading that book.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That book was huge.
You read it?
Yeah. Everybody read that book. That book was like culturally like, you're reading The Dirt, right? Like it was crazy.
Amazing. Otherwise, there weren't too many in this episode. Spicoli, that's pretty timeless.
Yeah.
That's good.
Spicoli's great.
I love that they all have the same references for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Or the same, it's the same where you can have Paris say Spicoli,
mm-hmm.
and you can have Lane say Tony Manero.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're both coming from it's the same group voice all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Or like Luke at the next episode. Episode 308, he references Tommy Toon for
amazing.
Whatever reason.
Well, he did that in this episode, didn't he?
In Tommy Toon?
Yeah, when Lorelai's talking at the beginning,
it is
says,
this
oh,
episode.
Look, here goes
yes.
Tommy Toon.
My mistake, Gilmore Goof. Otherwise, let's talk about Jess and Dean.
Talk about Jess and Dean.
Okay, you're full-on...
Full-on Jess.
Team Jess.
All the way. All the way.
Forever.
Forever.
Now, we have, for the most... Because Demi's watching this for the first time. I've seen it before, so I have my own opinions. But up to this point, actually...
Oh, so you don't even know who Logan is.
I don't.
Conceptually, you don't even understand Logan as an entity.
Nope.
Wow.
Well, not yet, but you will.
I wish I had that luxury.
Mr.
You
Richie
hate him
Rich.
That much.
I like Logan.
Really?
I truly do. I think he's charismatic. I think he treats Rory well. I think he has some failings, but overall, he's very respectful. I mean, compared to Jess... Well, let's talk about Jess.
He is very respectful. I agree. But I think he's patronizing and condescending, Logan.
And Jess isn't, though?
No, Jess is just a bad boy.
He's...
A close-up magician bad boy, if you'll recall.
I don't even feel like he's a bad boy anymore. I just feel like he's a jerk. Like, I feel like he doesn't do things to the town anymore that is annoying. It's just two specific people.
Mm-hmm.
And those people almost never deserve it. Or it's like he's trying to get their go. Like, with the Shane thing on this episode, which I don't understand why Shane agreed to sit in the rafters
that poor
of a,
girl.
A dance marathon.
Yeah, I think this is the last we see of Shane.
I'm sure. But
her last step.
I just want the Shane spinoff where she's like, I can't believe I was used in a pawn for this guy to fuck someone else.
Yeah, pretty shameless of him.
Oh, boy.
Otherwise...
There's no scoreboard.
Sorry. Apologies, that was visual. And otherwise, so Jess's actions in this episode, let's dissect those.
All right.
He goes to the dance, and he just watches quietly with his girlfriend.
It's been growing. Like, he's been, like, more and more engaged, engaging Rory more and more, and is, like, smartly, passive-aggressively antagonizing
mm-hmm.
her.
Yeah.
And it is making her crazy.
for him.
Yeah.
Which I just wouldn't, maybe because it's not something I would ever do, I just can't like respect and defend. I don't know.
Oh, but again, I'm of the point of view that these are children.
Right.
You know, like these are 16-year-olds. So yeah. This is like, you know, and I love there's a, in this, is it in this episode or the next one that there's a Romeo and Juliet reference?
Next one.
Yeah, it's the next one. And it is... It, like to me, it is that level of kind of teen love, right. Lust, hormones, craziness. So like, I'm not saying like I like Jess. Like I think he and Rory should be together for the rest of their lives. I like Jess. You know what I mean? Like, right. But in the show, I find the most compelling relationship of Rory's life to be Jess.
Okay, so like it, Jess is like a necessary phase for every young girl growing up.
Something, yeah, or something like that. You know, like that kind of. And this season, this season is kind of a perfect season, you know, so far, because so much of it is the kind of central elements of Rory's love life, mm-hmm. and Rory deciding and making choices on her own. For who, what she's going to do and who she's going to be with, rather than just kind of like going along with the flow.
Right. Well, that's interesting. We were talking in the last episode about up to this point, she's been very passive.
Oh, yeah.
It has to get to the point where Dean has almost no choice but to
she's
break
a real
up
Bella,
her.
Guys, but we, she's going yes, to become exactly. a Katniss.
she's entering to the
From
Katniss.
From Bella to Katniss.
Yeah, that's a great book title.
From Bella to Katniss? Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's like 10 million think pieces that have already been written with the title From Bella to Katniss.
Let's Google them right now. But otherwise, so this episode, and you know, you make a great point about they are children. They are like 16, 17 years old. I forget that. One, I guess because I identified them when I was watching it growing up and I was around their age. And then two.
Is that right? You were, oh, wow, that's fascinating. I watched it as, again, and this, I realize, is insane. As an adult man, like living in New York City, like I'm in public watching Gilmore Girls, like a grown man in my 30s at the time.
Yeah.
That's not great.
That's not bad, because now we're all grown men.
Yeah.
The playing field has been leveled for all of us.
Absolutely.
In a way. Although Demi's the youngest one in the room, and he's probably the one that likes it the least.
I'm 10 years old.
Essentially.
Yeah. That would be amazing if part of this podcast involved a 10-year-old.
That would be a great perspective.
Let's
have
like an 8-year-old on the podcast.
You should have a guest that is a child.
I didn't like when they were kissing.
That was weird. There's cooties there.
Yeah.
So also the other reason I forget that they're children is because Jess looks like he's 27
sure.
years old.
He does.
He looks like a grown-up person. Man. I will admit that Jess and Rory, and we've talked about it before, they have the most chemistry out of any of her of her interests. And that goes, you know, that's a big credit to the fact that they actually dated in real life, too. Right. That's a big part of that. But,
although, we don't see that chemistry in this episode at all. It's just, like, even at the end where they're trying to be like, so what do we do now?
Oh, but I love when he's like, you and Dean are definitely broken up. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, I got to go take care of something.
I got to see a guy about a thing.
And you're like, oh, boy. That girl is fucked.
Yeah. In my head, I just imagine him going like, you guys are over for real? All right, sick. I'm going to go dump Shane. Like,
yeah.
I just imagine him like breaking into a sprint as soon as Roy's out of his sight and just like smiling the entire way.
It's also so interesting to me in this show to see how, because what year is this season?
This is 2002. I think this was November 2002.
2002, which, I mean, yes, as we're talking about it, is 12 years ago, 13 years ago, whatever, is quite a long time ago, even though in my mind it seems recent.
Right.
But when I watch a show like this that to me seems like it should be from more recent times, I am consistently shocked at how little technology there is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't text.
Yeah,
they don't. Right. There's no, I mean, every once in a while someone gets a cell phone call, but that's about it.
Right.
Like, Stars Hollow is devoid of IM, email, texting.
No one is ever on a computer.
Never.
The only technological reference, I think that speaks to Paladino's general distaste or distrust of technology, because you don't really see it that much even in Bunheads when texting is prevalent. But I think the only technology things I can remember in this show is in episode 2, Sean Gunn as Mick, not Kirk, installs a DSL line at the Gilmore home. And then in season 6, Rory is gifted a sidekick, which was like a huge cell phone.
Yeah.
That was like the coolest phone in the world when it arrived.
The episode was entitled, I Get a Sidekick Out
no
of You.
No way.
It was.
So it was like a huge product placement thing.
It must have been, in retrospect.
One of the worst things I've seen on TV, and this made me stop watching the show entirely, was Suburgatory in like season two did an entire episode where like the plot was that Jane Levy's character gets a Windows tablet.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it was.
Ooh, I want to get one of those.
Right.
I love this show. I love that character. I need that tablet,
I need to get the Windows 7 tablet.
And I heard that those sold out immediately.
Yep.
Those Windows 7 right tablets, like, right
especially
off the shelves.
The Suburgatory editions. Mm.
Yeah, with the characters' faces emblazoned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a lovely, lovely piece of tie-in. But, man, I one of our Twitter Q&As.
Twitter Q&A.
There we go.
Really nice.
Yeah, wasn't that smooth?
Really smooth.
That was really nice. Was how can you be Team Jess after this episode?
How can you?
Yeah.
I feel like you have to be at this point.
Yeah, this is all Team. I'm like, this makes me all in on Jess.
It's like you don't like Jess, but if Rory's like, you gotta be along for the ride at this point. Because you know it's gonna last for a while.
He's giving her like smoldering stares while she dances for
with
23 hours. And he sits there and watches her. Mm-hmm. Like, he's making bold moves.
If he were like two rafters back and Shane wasn't there, it would be like a murder. Like, he'd be the creepiest person.
He'd be like De Niro in Cape Fear.
Exactly.
Like, that's definitely in there. He's capable of that. Yeah. But no, like, he's like, I really love Jess, and I love his inability to access his emotions, his seeming misunderstanding of who he is and how he operates.
Yeah.
But then I love when he's like, I got a job at Walmart. Fine, I got a job at Walmart, you know?
Yeah, when he at least tries to put his life together.
Yeah.
And then everyone shits on him in return, which is very unfortunate.
Oh, I love a bad boy. I love a town pariah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that all of Stars Hollow is united against Jess. You know, except for like Gypsy, who sells him the car.
Gypsy and Rory are pretty much his only allies in the war.
And Gypsy even is just kind of like, look, I don't ask where they get the money. I don't know what your kid's doing with the car. Like,
Gypsy's great. I wish Gypsy and Jess had gotten together, truthfully.
Oh, well, have you read my fan fiction?
I've not. I've seen it on
Jespy?
The table.
Yeah.
Team Jespy all the way. This episode was directed by Mr. Kenny Ortega.
No.
Yes. That's
High School Musical?
True. High School Musical.
That's what I was going to say.
Dirty Dancing. Yeah.
It makes sense.
The one and only.
I'm just learning he did Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Checks out.
In my head, he's High School Musical.
Which is why this episode has a much, more interesting visual flair than a lot of the episodes before. Like we talk about, the visual palette on the show is pretty flat and pretty staid.
Oh, yeah.
Just masters, long takes, nothing like crazy looking. And for a big set piece that this episode revolves around, like the big town dance, you really do get that added visual flair.
It's so funny, though, because it's shot so well, and when Taylor's giving all the instructions, they keep doing these like pans that look very much like a music video intro.
Yeah.
And then they go into the dance moves and they pan through the room. And my only thought was, it was so well shot, but also, why would you dance like so hard at the very beginning? Like, there were people like on each other's backs and stuff.
Oh, that's what I thought too.
And I was like, you guys are out in like 10 seconds.
And they were, for the most part.
Yeah, exactly.
Babette and Maury, I'm done. Let's go.
Okay.
That was the best.
I love them.
They might be my favorite townies. I don't know.
Really?
I think they're my favorite couple, but it's hard to say a favorite townie.
Who would yours be, Jason?
Oh boy. Oh, that's so good. I mean, I love Stars Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
I love Taylor because I love a villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like it's great to have like a Mr. Burns style villain in Stars Hollow. Who are my favorite townies, though?
You got Gypsy. You got Jackson.
I love Gypsy. Andrew. I love Suki.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I genuinely love Suki.
Same.
Jackson, I'm medium on. Kirk, I always enjoy. I like when
the raw sexuality of Miss Patty.
Oh, yeah. Miss Patty always having a boyfriend. Always having some weird suitor.
Yeah, that's true. In the previous episode.
A couple of episodes, it was the guy from Borat.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on here?
I'll say there's not a townie I hate. There's not one where I'm just like, I don't like that guy.
Mm-hmm. They did a very good job of rounding it out.
It really did. It's good world building, especially when you realize it's just a back lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Literally. And we talk about, we compared it, we had Aisha Mohr from Parks and Rec on. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of similarities we see between, like,
yeah,
the world building of Pawnee.
Absolutely.
And Stars Hollow as well.
And Paradise on Bunheads.
And Paradise on Bunheads. Never forget.
Never forget.
Pour one out.
Pour some out for the girls at Bunheads. I'm talking Boo. I'm talking Jenny. I'm talking
Sasha. Who's the other one?
What's more upsetting? Like a man in his 30s watching all of Gilmore Girls or a man in his 40s watching all of Bunheads? These are red flags.
Wait,
guys.
did you cry during Bunheads?
Yes.
So did I.
Wait till you get to the last three.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, it's going to be waterworks.
Oh, boy.
I want to watch the last one live with you and just watch the tears stream down your face when you realize it's over.
It'll happen,
man. I was watching the pilot of Bunheads with someone, and like halfway through the pilot, I paused it, and I was like, and they had already seen it. Well, no, you haven't seen it, so I don't want to spoil anything for you.
No spoilers.
So I'm going to, I stopped the pilot, and I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. The only way this show can work is if Alan Ruck dies. And she looked at me and she was like, that's what happens. And I was like, I fucking called it, wow, man. And
that's
like
amazing.
15 minutes later, Alan Ruck was dead.
Yeah.
And the show became amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was my question on that? You cried during that.
Oh, I cry a lot, guys.
Is that true? Like, yeah, even just in general, like going to movies.
What's the last movie you cried during?
What's Chappie? The last? I didn't see Chappie.
Oh my god!
Is it good?
Good is not the word. It is insane.
Good or bad insane?
It's bad insane, but it's the kind of bad insane where every like 5 seconds you're going, what the fuck? And you by the end of it, you think, is this a joke? Did I just get tricked?
Oh, that's amazing.
You have to do.
Okay,
you guys have to do. How did this get made?
Yeah,
for
sure.
It's
I cried at. We did a movie recently for How Did This Get Made? Safe Haven. Safe Haven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Safe Haven. It's a Nicholas Sparks book, mm-hmm, or movie, both. And I cried hard at that movie. I didn't just cry. I was like angry at that movie. Like, oh, this movie's so stupid. Oh. And then there's a reveal at the end that I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is happening. This is beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And I like wept like a baby.
That's great. That's great to hear men being upfront about their emotions,
absolutely,
wearing them on their sleeves and owning them.
Just talking about Gilmore Girls, digging into
just
it.
Just broing out about Gilmore Girls, and that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Well, we were going to say, we've been talking and we do need to do Bunheads, but at one point we were going to do that instead of season 7.
Great idea.
Because season 7
is terrible.
I disagree.
Is awful.
I mean, I haven't seen season 7, but I really want to do it because it's awful.
I was going to say, it might be interesting for the show just to really dig in on what the hell's going
what
on.
What went wrong.
Yeah. I would like to come back during season 7.
Beautiful. We'll have you back. Because it's one of those things where it's like the ship was guided so steadily by Paladinos. It's just like Aaron Sorkin at the end of season 4 of The West Wing.
Yeah.
It's just not the show anymore.
Or Dan Harmon in Community.
Dan Harmon in Community, although he came back in Paladinos, yep, not yet, unfortunately. Yeah, as if there's going to be like a Netflix reunion reboot. There could be.
Kevin's holding out for a season 8.
I truly am. I think it would be, do like 6 episodes, do it straight to web. It's possible. Is all I'm saying.
Netflix, if you're listening.
We love you.
That would be awesome. Here's my pitch. I would like a Amy Sherman Palladino mashup. I would like Netflix to do a show that involves characters from both Bunheads and Gilmore Girls,
mm-hmm,
all in one new place.
Ooh.
So it's like Rory and Sasha and Boo and Ginny.
Wow.
And Paris are all someplace. Like, I want that world, those worlds to collide.
Although the problem with that is there's so many actors,
yes,
from Gilmore Girls that end up playing different characters on Bunheads.
Yep.
Sean Gunn's the barista, and Liza Wilde,
yep,
is a different...
Is the sister, mm-hmm, is...
They just combine them.
Kelly
Paris
Bishop
has a sister. Yeah. Kirk has a new job.
It could work, though.
Did you see the pilot without Kelly Bishop of Bunheads?
No. Does that exist?
It exists.
Whoa.
There's a pilot without Kelly Bishop with a different actress in that part. And then they recast
the
her. I don't know. I didn't. Oh. She wasn't somebody that I knew.
Okay.
But that's, I mean, guys, if we're going to dig really in on Bunheads.
Which we will.
You're going to have to watch both pilots.
We'll watch both pilots.
Well, let's talk about Paris's. Speaking of Paris, let's talk about her storyline in this episode.
Oh.
Jamie comes back, baby.
Was it the same actor?
It was, I believe.
I didn't recognize him at all.
He looked different.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll double check that. That might be a Gilmore goof on my part. But yeah, if he wasn't wearing a suit, who knows?
It was a very cute story, but also my first thought was, who, if you don't call a girl for 3 months and she's like distracting you or whatever, do you show up to her school?
No. See, no, that is the, that's the issue I had as well, is that it seems like, and someone pointed this out on Twitter, like, maybe Amy Sherman-Palladino has a type, and that type is creepy lurker boy.
I think so.
Where it's like, yep, he kind of throws rocks from a distance and then comes up and makes himself available.
So we're far,
Tristan, Jess, yeah, and Jamie now.
Even Dean, who is, who goes, hey, I saw someone get hit by a football and you didn't even flinch. That was cool of you.
Yeah, that's how the pilot episode. Yeah. That is his intro. But in this, it's so fun to see Paris be, have anxiety, be told that she's wonderful, and have to accept it and receive, yep, it in some way. And the anxiety that comes with that, I just think is really lovely to watch.
I found myself wanting, I wanted either to, watching it from the point of view of like, oh, here's an episode of this show. I was like, oh, I wish this part hadn't been in it, because it wasn't really followed up on. It kind of falls by the wayside. And I was like, oh, this whole episode should have just been the dance marathon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of the components of it. Like, I like when that Lane is serving the sandwiches and Dave comes. Dave comes to see her. Like, I like that everybody comes to them. And that, oh, those opening couple of scenes, I didn't feel like we needed. I felt like they put plot mechanics into motion that weren't followed up on, and then I wound up kind of losing track of stuff like that.
Yeah, but I just remembered the whole 75th anniversary thing that got pushed, yeah, back a week, but they didn't like
resolve. Oh yeah,
it,
the school, and then Madeline and Louise immediately go hunting for men.
That was the weirdest.
How crazy was that? Was, are you free? I got two over here. I was like, guys, chill out. Those girls are loose.
Yeah, loosey goosey all the way. Oh, so sad. I'm still unclear as to which one's Madeline and Louise.
Oh, me
even
too,
after watching it for like so many years.
I think
Louise is the blonde, I believe.
She is the blonde?
Yeah.
Okay.
In my head, they switch it every episode and that's a joke.
Yeah.
They don't, but that's how I would do it.
It's like they're Ed and Larry.
Exactly.
That, yeah.
From West Wing. The other kind of outlier story of this, even though it is kind of, it has to do with the dance and that they are there, is the Jackson Suki stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I found to be tiresome,
yep,
actually. Yeah. I wasn't into it as much.
I'm not a Jackson fan.
In general.
I'm not a Jackson fan. I never get that into the mechanics of their marriage, mm-hmm, or I never feel like any of their problems are real.
They all seem kind of, yeah, you know, flimsy.
They always seem like the episode where she's like, they have moved in together because they've gotten married, and she like decks out the whole house in like mounted fish and like
bears,
deer heads.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I want it to feel more masculine. I'm like, this is nonsense.
I wonder why that is, because the central conflicts of
Jackson
the show
is in my bottom three.
Oh, really?
Who else is in the bottom?
Michelle.
Ooh. Oh.
I don't like the character.
Okay, because he is so kind of one-dimensional.
It's the same joke over, yeah, and over and over and over.
He's
and over.
He's snooty,
again,
sassy, fancy,
and that's
boy.
It. Yeah. You know, and I always want, because I do feel like they do a good job of fleshing people out.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, a couple of people, him included, don't ever get that treatment,
mm-hmm,
to a satisfying degree.
Yeah.
So they wind up feeling very kind of one note. Jackson is another bottom three for me.
Jackson, Michelle, and Logan.
Oh, fuck. Well, no, Logan is not Stars Hollow.
Okay.
I'm saying the residents of Stars
Hollow.
Logan can straight, gotcha, up go fuck himself.
We'll put Andrew in there.
Wait, who's Andrew?
Andrew's the one that he's kind of the everyman townie. He's not necessarily weird. He's always just kind of at everything and saying stuff.
Oh, is he the one that fought with his...
Right.
Yes, got it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How can you not tell me you dated... Yeah. Who was it?
Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
That's a reference that aged well.
A reference that didn't make it to your supercut. How dare you?
Gilmore Goof. Oh, shit.
How dare you?
Well, now I have to cut this part out and then put it back in. So you look like the fool. Now I probably won't
hilarious.
Do that.
And we'll leave it in there and then you'll add the clip of, yes, it was.
Dummy.
Yes, it was, dummy. I made a few soundboards for this. I'm a sucker for any time Suki does a sing-songy line for anything, including...
Pretend we just woke up smelling like that.
Yeah, she's so light and whimsical on this show. Very much
great.
A 180 from her career currently.
Isn't it so fascinating? You know, because I I knew Melissa McCarthy only as Suki for, you know, whatever, seven years.
Yeah.
To then see that transformation was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Pretty stunning. And I would at some point like to see if a reunion were to happen, like how that dynamic would be handled. Would that be like a weird thing to address, or would they like make reference to it at all? I don't know. But it is interesting too, just the idea of like, if you were to pick, oh, that's definitely going to be the star, one of the biggest movie stars in the world out of that cast, you probably wouldn't have picked her.
Never.
No. In a million years. Otherwise, okay. And then let's talk about the Lane-Dave
Lane and Dave.
Line.
I'm in. I'm on board.
I'm all in. I'm 100%. Team Dave all
Dave
the way.
Dave is my favorite.
He knows, your favorite? He knows how to be smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Moms. Good mom mode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There's no, like, even, like, it's like a second flip. He sees Mrs. Kim, and without hesitation, he's like, oh, I'm Dave. I came for the sandwiches. And it's almost like, if I were Lane, I'd be like, he's too good at this.
I find myself wanting, like, more, like, when Lane dyed her hair and so forth, like, I always want more Lane going farther.
Yeah.
You know, like,
taking it to the extreme.
You know, like, I really want to, I wish the show, like, Lane would get pregnant, you know, like I wish, like
yeah, we talked about
I wish there was more, like I wish for Lane and Parrot, like everybody, I wish there was more of that. And that's I guess in a little way, in a bit, like that's what Bunheads was, like it really did allow for character development for all those girls.
None of them were cartoony, they weren't too broad, they were all like real human people.
All had much more like really interesting things going on, whereas sometimes again, like Lane, like other people in Stars Hollow, can sometimes feel a little bit one note.
Facebook.
But her mom is one of the most three-dimensional characters on television.
I agree.
I'm just kidding. She's like a stern Asian accented woman in every line.
We are just kidding, but I will say that I do believe she does gain dimension seasons 5, season 6. There are really good human moments between her and Lane.
It takes a long time, though.
Yeah, it takes a bit to get there. Yeah. But when she starts helping out with band stuff, it's great.
One thing I hated about her in this episode is she runs up when Jess shows up and goes, "Who are you?" And she goes, and he goes, "Jess, ma'am." And that's the end of her questions.
Yeah, she's but
when,
satisfied.
When Dave shows up, he's like, "Who are you? What do you want?" And then he says the whole thing about sandwiches. They're having this nice conversation. Like, I don't...
Well, Mrs. Kim knows who Jess is. It was a test.
Really?
Sure.
She knows who Jess is?
How could she not?
Everybody
Everyone hates
in town.
Him. Yeah.
He's like a public enemy number one.
Yeah, that's he's true. Like not a registered sex offender, but they're treating him as such.
I would they probably put posters of him
as far to say.
He has to go to every house and tell them that he destroyed Rory's car.
Hi, I destroyed Rory's car.
I'm Jess, I destroyed Rory's car.
I stole 500 baseballs and your gnome. And okay, those pranks are lame.
I drew a chalk outline
so
in the town square.
Right, yeah.
Look, I'm smashing snowmen.
Snowmen that aren't Bjork.
Replacing copies of Babe with porn.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
I don't remember that. That's funny.
He just vaguely, like, they're outside the video store when Rory becomes, like, Citizen of the Year because...
The censorship, because she's like, oh, you shouldn't put Showgirls out where little kids can jerk it to it, yeah.
And he just casually goes, don't worry, I'll take care of it, and, like, backs away into the shadows. And the next day, like, the store is closed.
And then, there's probably some D's on that Babe VHS.
Sure. Oh, I'm sure.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is, I'm going to say it, gang, it's a product I actually use. I've been using it for 10 years now. I've made every single website I've made in the last decade using Squarespace because Squarespace actually has everything I need. If you want to start a completely personalized website with a new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint is your answer. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can do so much with Squarespace, like email campaigns for outreach. You can have analytics to find out who's visiting your website and why. You can have eShop e-commerce functionality. I used that when I was doing my little bake shop on there for a while. I stopped doing it, but man, the website I had for a little bit looked really good because I used Squarespace. And there's so much I didn't know about setting up my shop that they were able to answer for me over the chat and their award-winning 24/7 customer support.
So right now, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, let's talk about your social battery. What is it right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why is it at the level it's at? There's all these external factors that can make it the way it is. Maybe you're less social during certain seasons. Maybe you're experiencing a lack of boundaries with certain people that's making it more drained than it needs to be. Well, either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for 11 years now, and it has been vital and crucial for figuring out how to not overexert myself socially, to keep my battery at a good charge, to not keep it too drained when I'm dealing with all the people that I actually want to be dealing with and not dealing with people in the way that I don't want to be, which is of course due to a lack of good boundaries or how to cope with people. And you learn how to do those things with therapy, because therapy gives you the tools to tune in to yourself and understand, oh, I need this. I don't need this. I need to communicate this. I need to say this. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
A Facebook question we got was from Jamie Power. Have either of you or either of us danced competitively? Can't think of a scenario.
No.
I think I've been in dance-offs.
You've been in dance-offs, like at weddings and stuff?
I've never been to a wedding.
You've never been to a wedding?
We talked about this.
Oh.
Never?
Never.
I kind of just want to get married so I can invite you to my wedding.
That's mind-blowing.
Is it really?
How old are you?
I'm 22.
And there's never been a family wedding or anything?
So every time when I was young, if a family member got married, I feel like my parents would go and they'd just be like, we're going to a wedding.
Yeah,
catch you later.
No kids.
Exactly.
Yeah. Huh. Wow, that first wedding's going to really blow your mind.
Probably. I'll probably get super tired of it and just be like, don't invite me to your wedding anymore.
At Melissa Lauren E on Twitter asks, what is in the eggless egg salad? Because it's got to be something disgusting, right? Because that's salad. What Mrs. Kim makes for the sandwiches.
Yes.
Eggless egg salad.
And she says, like, you got to keep stirring, otherwise, like,
the bread will get stale.
It's like, yeah, it seems pretty gross.
It'll crack.
It's like
something.
Cookie dough, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the show does indulge, I feel like, a lot in the Asian family in town eats real weird food.
You feel like they go to that a lot?
Well, there was the episode where Lane was drinking like salad soda or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of weird stuff that I'm like, really? Is this a thing because they're Asian, or is this like a Christian thing that they are? That I can't ever figure it out, but I'm always like, we're dangerously close to this is too weird.
Well, yeah. And that's truthfully, and we haven't talked about it, but as of recording this episode, we already recorded our interview with Sam Phillips and Helen Pye, the composer of the show and one of the producers on the show, and kind of Amy Sherman.
And the woman who does all the la-la-las.
Yes, she is Mrs. La-la-la.
Yep.
That was a real weird moment when I tried to sing in front of her, and it was, I mean, both of us did in a way. But
it went great, though.
Yeah, went
I heard you guys
flawlessly.
Have a record deal with her.
Mm-hmm. We do, yeah.
It's great.
I mean, it's Sam plus the Gilmore guys.
We're singing on the reboot.
Good times.
Oop, did I just spoil that?
Singing on the reboot, nothing. But we, one of the things I did not ask Helen, because her life is Lane is loosely based off of Helen Pye.
Okay.
The whole thing, Hep Alien is an anagram of Helen Pye.
Oh, funny.
Helen was a Seventh-day Adventist growing up, blah, 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 da,
wow.
da, da. And we touched on it a little bit, but I didn't go as far as to say, so is this racist? Like, is this a racist portrayal? Like, is Mrs. Kim just like a strict racist Korean mother?
Huh.
But we didn't go there.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll ask her about it at some point
in the future.
We'll
have her back and just attack.
Really get into it.
We'll have a special racism awareness episode.
That's really smart.
Yeah. Where we talk about the lack of diversity in general in Stars Hollow.
Wait, really?
And on the show.
Is there a lack of diversity? I'm just kidding. It's like the most hilariously white town. The only people of any ethnicity are like... are so ethnic they are accented. It's yeah. either Mrs. Kim or it's Michelle.
Yeah.
The only one I would say would fall in between is Miss Patty, who is Puerto Rican, I believe.
Is she?
I think. Or she's at least Hispanic.
I guess so.
Well, we'll find out.
Miss Patty.
Yeah.
I love her so.
I love that, like, the entire town is like, oh, Miss Patty gets it in.
When,
constantly.
Like, she's like the Samantha of Stars Hollow. Mm-hmm.
She really is.
She is. In Why? I never put that together.
In the previous episode, when Jesus shows up, the entire town hall just goes, ooh. Yeah.
Turns into Married with Children.
Exactly. Yeah.
Definitely.
But they're all picturing the dude from Borat plowing Miss Patty. And are still like, ooh.
Yeah, they love the visual.
I
Even
mean,
Luke.
What's going on? That is like straight up gross.
I mean.
Like, I would rather watch Sally Struthers fuck the tall dude.
Scott Hat Maury.
The yeah. Slender Man.
He does kind of look like yeah. the Slender Man.
He's the chillest Slender Man ever.
That couple is bonkers.
I love that couple.
Baby, it's all cool, babe.
Oh, my God. I feel like he's like, okay, I got to go on tour with the Stray Cats. I'll talk to you guys later.
Amazing.
Do you guys talk about like all the music people and stuff like that on the show?
The music people, all the musical
like,
guests?
Yeah, like or when like Grantley Phillips is hanging mm-hmm. around. And
Oh, the Troubadour?
Yeah.
We've gotten mostly negative vibes on the Troubadour so far from our guests and stuff. I like him, but his storylines are tiresome sometimes. Yeah.
The only storyline he's had so far is that he's very like territorial about other people playing music.
I
want to
have Mystique, and then Dave Gruber Allen comes. Yeah. He's like, I work at Kinko's.
Yeah.
And that's pretty
Wait,
much it.
Wait, has the one have you done the one where Sonic Youth shows up yet?
No, Not that's yet. Coming in season okay. six. Yeah,
season six.
That's right. The season six finale. We talked about that on the interview show.
Yeah,
you should have listened, Jason.
Speaking of
apologies, everybody, apologies.
Speaking of
the music people of this show, why have a live band at a dance marathon?
Oh my God,
that was
those guys
a
must
question.
Be exhausted.
Yeah, you see the drummer like wiping his brow at the end when the Rocky theme plays, and I'm just imagining him just like casually drumming for 24 hours, and that seems like the most tiresome thing.
I think that's just because it's the movie.
Yeah,
you know, like, and they have to have that, and they're playing swing music of that era, and I did like that, like costuming, wardrobe, everything. Like mm-hmm. everybody's into doing like a straight up, you know, 40s musical dance, you know, whole.
Everyone's
tribute.
Very committed.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we should get into the fashion report.
Let's do it.
Fashion. So the 40, everyone is committed to the 40s aesthetic in the show. I feel like Lorelai, this isn't a part of the 40s stuff and all the dance-a-thon stuff. I feel like Lorelai's hair finally looks great in the show and scenes leading up to it. Well, during and in scenes leading up to it as well.
Have you not been into her hair this season?
Well, I just... it's a fair question.
He makes a point to say Lorelai's hair looks awful every episode.
Yeah, we rate it every single episode.
Interesting. I'm trying to think, yeah.
Well, no, it's just a little more, what's it called, when it's just curlier.
Styled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, Lauren Graham, in this episode, I watched this and I'm like, oh, I would like to see her in a period movie.
Yeah.
Totally. And she actually, I believe she did Guys and Dolls on Broadway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She looks like she's in Sin City for like the latter.
Ironically, because Alexis Bledel was in
exactly.
Sin City.
Exactly. I think that's why I made the comparison.
Interesting. Lane has an orange shirt with an elephant on it. And khakis in that one scene at Lorelai's house.
Ugh.
She has a long way to go. I just, my heart goes out to her every ep.
I imagine that it's in part because of her mom. It's like, all right, elephants
Mrs.
are
Kim
offensive.
Buys the clothes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or even just says, look, if you wear anything, you got to make sure that it's not going to accidentally make a dude horny.
That's the number one concern.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Elephants. Like, no
she definitely gets dressed to prevent boners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lane, Mrs. Kim is on boner prevention patrol. And for the dance-a-thon, everyone looks
looking
amazing.
Great. Looking
I'm Babette.
Great.
It's Patty.
Kirk looks like Donnie from The Big Lebowski.
That's funny.
What I found interesting, let's close out the fashion report. That's,
should we?
I think that's all we need to say. Do we have any other points?
Jackson looks like a clown, fucked an extra from Deliverance.
Okay.
Yeah, Suki was like, Jackson looks so good in his suit. And then he showed up and I was like, he looks terrible.
He's wearing overalls also.
Yeah, that was interesting.
But I think that is...
Yeah, I mean, like, all the 40s stuff I thought was great.
I think we give this show a lot of shit production design-wise. Like when it's like, oh, Rory goes to New York and visits Jess, and it's definitely just, like, the other side of Stars Hollow backlot.
Totally.
But for stuff like this, or, like, the Living Art Festival in an upcoming season, like, they do really pay attention to the details and try to nail those things, especially costume-wise with that.
And, like, this episode has, like you were saying earlier, the pace of it, the way they shoot all the dance stuff, it is visually a really nice show. It's like a satisfying show to watch. There's it does a good job of building up tension and having that kind of that blow up really blow up both the relationships and also the dance marathon, and what, and then you get Kirk in the background winning and blah blah. So there's a lot going on, and it's kind of choreographed beautifully.
Love it. And that's it for the fashion report.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Why does Lorelai wear heels to a dance marathon?
Well, yes, that's a big issue. And why, when it breaks, does she not just say, oh, I'll just dance barefoot?
Right.
Well, how about this? And then it's like, Luke, fix it. And then Luke's like, let me get some glue. And he's like, okay, this will be ready in 1 minute. But in that minute, we're going to have the most intense conversation of all of our lives.
Was that the baby conversation?
Yes.
So I would be okay with kids.
Yeah,
would
I mean, if I met the right person...
And Lorelai gives him those give me that baby eyes, and Luke's just like, this is a crazy talk. Anyway.
They were about due for a subtextually heavy conversation. They haven't had one in a few episodes.
But it's so weird because Luke looks at her like, this is a friendly conversation, and she looks at him like, you know I'm talking about you, Luke.
Yeah, he's missing it. Although I found him to be mostly hilarious in this episode.
Yeah. He was good. Yeah.
His quips were just like, he didn't give a shit about anything.
I'm not always on board for Luke.
Interesting.
Well,
especially in upcoming seasons, probably.
Yeah, it never worked out the way I wanted it to, I felt like they didn't have enough chemistry to make it work.
Oh, you feel like the actors actually didn't?
It never got there for me. And I would love to believe in that relationship, but it kind of just always fell short.
Do you feel like you had... an easier time believing the Lorelai Christopher relationship?
Nope. In all honesty, like, there was never a Lorelai love relationship that I was that invested in.
What about Rune in season one? Do you remember Rune?
Rune is the
double date, Jackson's brother or cousin.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like the, I would gladly give you a hamburger today for whatever.
He Wimpy?
Does. Yeah, he looks like Wimpy. Like Wimpy.
I liked,
Digger?
Oh yeah, I liked him. Okay. What's that actor's name? I like him.
Chris Eigman.
Yeah, Chris Eigman. I liked, but I also liked Scott. Not Scott. Yeah, what's the other guy? Mister the teacher.
Oh, Max Medina.
Max Medina. I liked Max Medina. I liked that was a good storyline that affected everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I like that he's Rory's teacher. I like that he's a love interest for Lorelai. Like, that to me is a good triangle.
I feel like every time they have a storyline involving Lorelai's love life in the way that it affects Rory, they get over it very quickly.
Yes.
Like with the whole, but he's your teacher thing. She was like, oh, I don't care. And that was done. And then when Christopher comes back, it's like, I don't want you to hurt Rory. And then they talk and it's like, okay, that's done.
Christopher on his motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
Vroom, vroom.
What are his first words? Like, take off your shirt.
Yeah, take off your shirt. And then he says the title of the show. I'm here to see the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
That happens in his very first episode.
Oh, really? I don't remember that. That's funny. Yeah.
Christopher, or the episode, end of episode 114, I think.
Oh, that episode where it's like maybe one of the first episodes of season 3 where the parents are mad that she's not with Christopher.
Such a bummer.
And Lorelai is at dinner alone. Oh, such a heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
I might have cried during that episode.
Well, you and I both, brother. Wow, it's finally good to have someone on the show. What?
I was going to say, all right, now. No, you finish what you were going to say. It's finally good to have someone.
I have someone on the show I can relate to in terms of the tier to episode ratio. I feel like we haven't even of the women guests that we've had on the show.
I think you both need to man up.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
This has become an interesting power dynamic.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, we're pretty much...
Should we now officially close out the fashion report?
Sure. Fashion. Good fashion report.
Really good one.
Yeah. I thought it was the best one we've done so far. Dean breaks up with Rory on the dance floor.
So good.
In like the rudest possible way.
In the most public setting. No, I'm possible.
But like it, good on him.
I agree.
He can't take any more. She's behaving horribly.
Mm-hmm.
She is obsessed with Jess and has been for many episodes.
Yeah.
It's undeniable at this point. Also, just a little side note. It's not really a tangent, but did you notice and did you like the poster of Kirk's previous wins?
Oh, I didn't
see that.
I didn't see
Taylor?
That either.
Maybe it's more visible in the widescreen version of the show on Netflix because it wasn't shot for widescreen, but they're showing it now. And the result of which is you can see like lighting equipment and boom mics now.
Is that right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, because they composed for 4x3 sure, and now they're 16x9. But
funny.
You can see previous wins with him and his unnamed woman.
I was going to say, who is his dance partner?
The little Asian girl. I'm not sure.
No idea.
It's not Lulu or Lula. Lula?
I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm not sure who that is. But they won the three previous years. If they did kind of get real harsh about Kirk, this is all he has. This is all this pathetic piece of garbage has.
I didn't want to think about that. And then I was like, oh, what if he loses? I was like, it's curtains for Kirk. He's going to kill himself.
Maybe.
He might. He has real, like, there's real sadness there.
There is.
There are problems at home. His mother.
I think if I ever cried an episode, it would be the episode where he asks out Lorelai and then is still made the butt of every joke. I was just like, this is awful to watch.
Oh, and he's like, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Outside of a porno magazine.
Yeah, outside of a dirty magazine. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, Kirk.
Yeah, they do develop him, though, a little bit. They give him a little more dimension than Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of the cartoony nature where it's like, and we've talked about it before, where it's like he has every job in the town. And he's like, he works at the video store and he also does gardening or DSL line. They do pay that off. In a big way.
Or when he invents that lotion.
When he invents the hay cream. There. Oh, yeah, holding up the bottle in the opening credits.
I feel like if Kirk ever had a sad, like a truly sad moment, like if he was like, I have to go, my mom is dying, he would trip on the way out.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like, oh, I don't know how to
feel. And like fart.
He would trip, his pants would fall, and he would fart. And the town would laugh at him.
Plural.
Everybody would laugh, and then they'd be like, oh, your mom just died. You missed it. You were too busy farting.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. And how funny is it that during this breakup, the pivotal moment of the episode, Lorelai is still fixing her heel, I guess. Yeah. And in the time that she is gone, Rory leaves, goes to the lake where Jess was pushed in, because that's her favorite lake to go to.
It's a 10-minute break.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's within that 10 minutes, Dean and Rory dance.
Mm-hmm.
Lorelai and Luke fix the shoe and talk about having babies. Dean breaks up with Rory in a huge public fight. Rory gets dressed and goes to the docks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lorelai comes back and is like, wait, what
docks.
Happened?
In
the old docks.
In that 10-minute break, Rory has a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing.
And what's crazy, too, is...
But see, they could have played all that out longer if they'd cut out that Paris and Jamie bullshit at the beginning.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
they could have, like, had more, like a more satisfying payoff.
Mm-hmm. Although, it was good to see Paris. She's always my favorite character.
I met her in real life and was like, I love you. I think you're amazing.
What was she like? Was she wonderful?
Delightful.
We have to have her on the show one day. But
there aren't a lot of people that I get like, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I'm a big fan of you.
Mm-hmm.
But it is always people from Gilmore Girls.
How many encounters have you had of that nature?
A bunch.
You met Lauren Graham?
I have met Lauren Graham.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Awesome.
And could not be lovelier.
Was that a parenthood thing or was that a...
No. That was, we had friends in common.
Oh, right on.
We had friends in common and then wound up at the same party. And the person who I was with was like, I know you love Gilmore Girls. You have to not be crazy tonight. And I was like, yeah. I'm going to be totally cool. And I think I kept it together pretty well.
Pretty good? Okay. Well, that's good to hear. And then, so they could have cut out the Paris stuff. They also probably could have cut out the Richard and Emily stuff as well. Because that didn't really pay off. That was in the beginning. That was like the first scene, right? Yeah, that was the first scene when they're going on about like, oh, Mr. Riverdance guy's going to be the dance guy.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Pointless.
Stanley Appleman. Yeah.
Pointless because that doesn't pay off except that his wife is the nurse, and who cares?
No, it was nurse. Just the longest gag that doesn't pay off to anything.
Yeah.
And she was dressed as a 40s nurse, I just realized.
Yeah.
That's also crazy.
Committed.
So that means wardrobe was like, Amy, do you want the people working at the thing to also be in period? And she was like, yes, of course. Everybody's in 40s gear.
Except you're
in
40s for the band.
Gear. The grips are in 40s gear. Yeah. The camera ops in 40s gear.
The drummer, except for the band? The drummer was in 40s gear. Everyone, all of the saxophonists looked like members of Smash Mouth.
Yep, totally. Yes. It was 100% Smash Mouth.
It was absolutely Smash Mouth. They cut amazing.
It was like Smash Mouth and like three dudes from Bare Naked Ladies.
B&L.
At the rap party, they definitely went like, when I saw her face. Hey now, you're an all-star.
Wow. Oh, did you like that we got the backstory of Taylor being interested in magic as well?
Wait, what was that?
That was he wanted to be a magician, and now he's the town select man. Something about that, because when they get like tire drunk or punch drunk or whatever, with him and Miss Patty, he's like, and then I would do the trick. And then,
wait, but was there a previous episode where we meet?
I think
Taylor?
It's just this episode.
No, but they talk about him having done it in years past.
Yeah. And how much would you love to see a series?
Taylor and Jess?
Taylor and Jess street going magicians. On the road, doing street magic.
Honestly,
together,
that's
town
a
to
pretty
town.
Pretty good idea, because Jess is the bad boy and Taylor's straight lace, but they both have one thing.
How are they
going
to make it work?
I'll say this. I would like for it to, for no good reason, be set in like the Dust Bowl era.
Oh, that would work 100%.
I would love it if they were like small con men in like the 30s.
Oh my God. Like,
that'd be a perfect gritty HBO reboot.
Like a period
reboot,
version
right?
of The Brothers Bloom.
And it would just be called Hollow. Not Stars Hollow, just Hollow.
By the way,
they never explain
that.
Why.
No, they never explain why.
Guys, should we go to pitch with this?
We have to. If you're listening, network executives, please call us. We are ready to go with this idea.
We're taking your calls right
Milo
now.
Milo Ventimiglia are.
We're doing our call-in show.
Rich in Cincinnati, you are live on Gilmore, guys.
We did actually have a call-in show.
Yeah, how'd it go?
It was pretty fun. Most of, what was it? It was 98% women, right? There was a husband and wife that called in, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
In terms of the listenership.
Your fan base is all women, right?
No, there's dudes. We got a few questions
real high
from pitched. Dudes.
Real high, you went
some dudes.
Giving
dudes.
You a real high pitch there.
All right, Dean breaks up with Rory.
Oh.
Rory's devastated.
No, she's not, though. She's not, though. She knows she did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
She admits it in the very next episode, but at the same time...
And that Dawson's Creek moment. Oh, we'll get to that. Climbing the tree.
You could do Dawson's Creek on this as well.
The thing is, I feel...
Although that is not satisfying.
It doesn't have as much merit, just objectively.
So, I don't know too much about Dawson's Creek, but I read some...
Shockingly, know quite a bit.
Were you a Dawson
Is it
head?
So shocking?
I might have watched almost all of Dawson's Creek.
I read that the end of Dawson's Creek is that he's pitching basically the show Dawson's Creek.
Is that true?
That is basically true.
That's insane.
Something like that. Yeah.
I hate that.
Wow.
That show is not good, but is kind of awesome.
Who knew that it would have the same kind of ending as Arrested Development Season 3? That's Which, exactly how it ends.
Yeah.
They're pitching the show.
Maybe a movie?
Weird.
The
final moment of the show, Rory rushes into Lorelai's arms after she comes back from whatever she was doing, fixing her heel, getting a bite to eat, going to the bathroom.
All in 10 minutes.
Doing errands, doing laundry.
By the way, did you notice how quickly Luke can get to the diner and back?
Oh, in seconds.
Yes. He's like, I guess I got some glue at the diner. And then he just probably breaks into a sprint and grabs the glue because he knows exactly where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Runs right back.
Oh.
He's an everyday handyman.
That he is.
Oh, he's and you know what? And he'll also make you a burger.
You know, and that's what's great about him.
He can
him.
Do it all.
I love Luke's Diner. I really do. I want to hang out at Luke's Diner. What happened at Taylor's Ice Cream Shop?
Oh, that's coming.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's on the way.
Yeah, it's being built right
now,
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's being built right now. Have you ever been on the back lot or shot anything?
Yes, I have. I had a meeting while Gilmore Girls existed.
Mm-hmm.
I got myself a meeting with the casting directors of Gilmore Girls because I was like, I want to be on the show. I'm obsessed with this show. I want to be on it.
You really? So how does that work? You just call them up or you
I call my agents.
Yeah.
I call my, because, you know, like that's part of, you know, part of it is if there's a show I like or something, I'll always say to my agents, you know, like if anything comes up or I can meet the casting directors, I'm a fan of House or, you know, West Wing or Gilmore Girls or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I got a meeting with the Gilmore Girls people who were on the lot. And they lived, they operated out of one of the houses. And it was a hilarious meeting. And they were charming and it was lovely. But I made like the worst joke in the world, which was I told them that I thought I could come into town and be a character who sleeps with both Rory and Lorelai without knowing about it. And it's a big mix-up. And I said this as a joke, thinking this would be a funny kind of thing. And they were like, not into it. Like, it died hard, this joke. And but when that happens to me, I always like double down on the joke. And I'm like, oh, no, no, I want to make sure these people understand that I'm joking.
Yeah.
So I'm going to heighten this. So then I heightened it a step further to be like, no, no, what I mean is, I come into town and I, without knowing, I just like plow Rory. And then like, then I fall in love with Lorelai, and it just was awful from then on. I felt like I left the room and they were like, never on the show. Oh, no. Never.
At what point was that in the run of the show? That must have been near the end.
Oh yeah. It was probably season six.
Season six or seven.
Season six. Yeah. No, not seven. It was, yeah.
You wouldn't meet for seven.
I would not meet for seven. Once the Paladinos are gone, guys, I'm not interested.
Amy's out, I'm out. That's a good...
I like to imagine season seven was a wreck, because as soon as he left, he's like, you know, he had some good ideas there. And they were like, they took it very seriously, and they like went forward in that
what
direction.
If? What if? I mean, that would be Jason Ritter, the actor, who in Parenthood
yep.
played Lauren Graham's love interest, and in Us and Them, the Fox sitcom that was pre-canceled before it aired,
yep.
played... Alexis Bledel's love interest.
Wait, was Jason Ritter in Gilmore Girls?
No, Parenthood.
Oh, okay.
Parenthood and then Us and Them.
Yeah.
But he embodies Jason's dream.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's that final moment of the show. Rory rushes into Lorelai's arms, oh. crying. And I did. I got choked up at that. I did. Yeah. I welled up, but then Kirk started running around.
They let him do the full lap.
Yeah. That last shot lasted for a bit.
Oh yeah,
longer than you would think.
They were like, "We're short. We got to make this one long."
I wonder if they were short on certain things, and that's why they left.
I almost felt like you are not supposed to feel so bad for Rory, because they're like, "Look, this is sad, but also pay attention to what is happening around them." And they pull out and show the shot of her like having the worst moment of her life. And then Kirk is having the best of his.
Yeah.
And it was a little too joyous for me to feel bad for her.
You thought they were trying to trivialize it?
Almost. Not even trivialize it, but just make it this sort of weird, like, oh, this is all... Oh, here it goes. Never mind. It's like if Kirk... If it's like Kirk's mom is dying, and then he trips and farts, you're like, oh, forget about the mom dying.
We talk about this like it's an actual scene in the show.
Well, I want it to
be. Well, you know that
again,
part.
Read my fan fiction about Kirk and his mom and farting. Please, everybody.
It's called Kirk Off.
What's interesting is the end of the episode. Lorelai has been so proactive in this episode for what she wants. She wants to win the trophy, blah, blah, blah. And at the end is truly just reactive, is really just because Rory has been just going with the flow. And then it has like a huge event happen. And then I feel like Lorelai at the end is left kind of without a trophy, not knowing what's happened with Rory. And I love that. I think there's a great kind of flip in this episode, which I think this show does really well, which is kind of pull the rug out from under people a little bit.
Totally. And just kind of the dynamics and how quickly Lorelai will sacrifice her own things and her own goals straight up for Rory.
Right.
Like,
oh,
no,
always.
No hesitation.
Her own happiness.
Oftentimes.
Oh, yeah.
Any other stray observations from the show before we rate it from this episode?
For some reason, every time Luke talked this episode, I was hearing Archie Bunker's voice.
Really?
Just like, you gotta give me the Lorelai, I guess I can fix your... Like, that's what I've... Every time he gets annoyed, he goes into this weird, like, that sort of thing. And now that's all I can imagine. I imagine it in the next episode, too. It's all I hear now.
So, a cross between Carol O'Connor, Jimmy Stewart,
yeah,
and Scott Patterson. Because he gets Stewart-esque, especially when he gets mad at Taylor. The damn yeah. it, Taylor. Yeah.
That's like a very, like, I feel like that was his, like, well, I'm going to do a small town guy.
Yeah, that was his big swing for the fences. Someone actually did make us a piece of fan art. I probably can't find it in time, but it was Luke as Mr. Smith.
Yep.
And then Taylor as one of the other congressmen, and Mr. Smith goes to Washington. We'll retweet that
Mr.
when this
Dan
episode comes
out. Washington.
But yeah, okay, let's rate it. I love this episode.
I do too.
It's
one of the best they ever did.
Yep.
Even with the kind of flabby storylines and the things that don't pay off, the Paris stuff or the Stanley Appleman.
Yep,
album.
I agree.
It's wonderful. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 eggless egg salads.
Whoa.
Yep.
That's the second 10 out of 10 you've given.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
True.
Again, I agree. Love this episode. Think it's hilarious. Think it's heartwarming. Think it had... I didn't see the Dean breakup coming. Like, it was sort of...
Oh, really?
Like, not in this episode. That's awesome. I knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
But it was this thing of, like, I thought he was going to be like, look, we need to talk, and then they'd go argue somewhere. But him just breaking it off completely was like, whoa, bold move, and I love it. And I just imagined watching the show in the time it airs and how probably people were like, whoa, whoa. So I think... Really,
it's a good impression of 2002 audiences.
Yeah, right? Especially if it's Joey Lawrence.
whoa! I'm gonna give this episode 9 out of 10. Untouchable bullhorns.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he was really
don't touch
clasping onto that thing, Jason.
Well, I mean. Not having, I've only, you know, I've watched them all obviously in the past, but I'm really trying to go through in my mind what I would, if there are episodes that I like more than this, I'm inclined to also give it 10 out of 10 bare naked ladies playing trombone.
Sure. The thing we all remember from this episode.
Yeah.
The trademark.
It's yeah. The one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything, if there's an episode of this show that I'm sure there is somewhere, but I think this is a terrific episode of this show. I think if you've never watched this show, you could, this is a jumping on point, you know, like mm-hmm. This is, you could watch this and get it totally. This episode does a very good job of, and I think because it's a single location for the most part episode, of what I feel like this show does great, which is indulge in the melodramatic nature of the teen romance while also still paying attention to and fostering the slightly less melodramatic adult stories, which are great.
That's a great point, and it does balance it really well, and especially the
I was going to say, and I like that it doesn't pander when talking about the teen romance. It doesn't ever feel cheesy. It feels like you get that these are kids, but it also feels very real and developed.
Well, yeah, what's great is... I think, to me, like when Jess and Rory finally get a chance at the end, at the docks, to kiss or to whatever, they're too nervous and awkward to.
Yeah.
And even in the next episode, when they are technically now able to be together, they're still awkward and weird with each other.
Right.
And I love that the show makes those moves, rather than I feel like the equivalent shows now, I feel like would just, the minute they could, they'd be like, you know, knuckle deep in the bones.
Exactly. In my head, I'm thinking of like Secret Life of an American Teenager or some other ABC
show. Or like Gossip Girl. Yeah. Or I mean, those are slightly different, but those are more like 90210-y kind of shows. Right. But still, like, I like that this show still has so much kind of, we don't know what we're doing
mm-hmm.
right.
for the kids, you know?
And it is an interesting thing, the idea of slow playing it and not rushing.
Yep.
Knuckle deep into the bone zone. And I wonder if that's only a luxury afforded to a 22-episode season.
Sure.
Because that's kind of going away now.
I think, though, the only thing they lose with shorter seasons is just the risk that if they don't do it now, they'll never get to.
Interesting.
You know, yeah. Like if a show gets canceled before... With Gilmore Girls, they at least know, oh, we've got 22 episodes to develop this. If you have mm-hmm. 13, you don't know if you're going to get another 13 mm-hmm. or whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's... It's a luxury that they have 22, but I still think like 13's, even 7 is enough to be like, okay, we'll slow this down and we won't do, okay, she has a boyfriend episode 3. Oh, she's pregnant at the finale. You know, that's, I feel like, a huge thing.
Oh, I would love it if the season ended with Rory pregnant.
Gilmore Girls, girls.
I was like, if she just can't help but do exactly what her mom did.
Yeah.
That would be a tragic ending.
If Lorelai finds a pregnancy test and then it's just like the Lalas come up over and it's like, and it's positive.
And it starts like distorting and like yeah. heavy metal guitars
oh,
come in.
I love this.
La la. And it turns into like heavy metal thrashing, yep. like screams.
Exactly.
I think Sam Phillips could pull it off.
No, yes. Well, no, that's when Sebastian Bach is on the show.
That's true.
He's on the show, The Winter Soldier?
Yeah. Sebastian no. Bach, The Winter Soldier.
Oh my God. You are adorable.
Oh boy.
Sebastian Bach, the lead singer of Skid Row, comes in like the 80s hair metal band.
Yeah.
You're thinking about Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, I know.
And the comparison couldn't be better. Like young, handsome actor of right now and over the hill, 80s hairband rock star. Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh my gosh.
He joins the band.
He joins Hep Alien.
Yep.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He's
not as himself.
He's wonderful on my show.
Actually he is a favorite Stars Hollow resident of mine when mm-hmm. he arrives. He's actually a good addition.
And he's there for a while. Yeah. He's not just like, hey, mind if I rock with you guys?
Yeah, he's not like the Brian Jonestown guy, Massacre guy. The tambourine guy that was in it for like one episode. That was great. Well, now it's time for a segment we call Where You Tweet, I Will Follow, where we give her plugs for the stuff we're working on. I don't know. We named that a while ago.
You don't drag me.
I named it a while ago.
You're doing great, even though you seem to hate it.
Well, you can find me at Kevin T. Porter on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff.
I'm at Electrolemon on everything. Jason?
Guys, shockingly, I'm not on Twitter.
What? No way.
I'm not. Yeah, no.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't mind telling you, and I'm announcing it here for likely the first time.
This is a Gilmore Guys exclusive, actually.
I am not on Twitter, guys.
Wow.
That is insane.
Well, you can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter, Instagram, Gilmore Guys Show, at Gilmore Guys Show, Facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show.
GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com.
Where you can send in emails for our Gil...
People send you a... people made you an embroidered pillow.
Embroidered pillow, a cross stitch.
I mean, this is all amazing.
Yeah.
We've got great fans.
We have the best fan. Like,
we do.
DC Pearson put it. We have like the best group of like sweet RAs as fans.
I love it.
That's like the kind of type we have where they're all like super sweet, but they seem like they have their lives together as well.
Yeah. But by the way, they give awesome blowjobs.
Oh, yeah. The gillies out there are number one.
They're out there like crushing it with blowjobs.
Yes, that's true. And that's why we want to do a live show so we can... anyway.
Yep. I'd like to be a guest on that show.
Oh, we'd love to have you. Jason, thank you so much for being a
guest
on this episode.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
This was a blast. People are going to love it when they listen to it. And it's wonderful. And Jason, I believe you know the theme song.
Sure, I do.
So let's all sing it together right now.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I know all the words, but let's go.
Out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. When you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow
boop
where you lead.
Love those beep boop boops.
Yeah, Well, I mean, a robot sings this song, guys.
That's true.
What?
I like that song.
Goodbye.